Okay, I've got 9:03. We'll call this regular meeting of the Quail County Commissioners Court to order, noting that a quorum of the court is present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you'd need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you asking humbly for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we're so grateful for the many blessings that you continue to bestow upon us. Lord, we would ask that you watch over our first responders and military here on earth as they protect us here on earth, as you watch over us from heaven. And Lord, we always ask that you place your hand of wisdom and guidance on this court so we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are 4 items there. The court can approve the consent agenda as presented, or you may choose to select any of those to be talked about or discussed and considered individually.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda A, B, C, and D.
We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion considering item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 6 on the agenda is the Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
Judge, for the month of February, we closed out 21 service requests and we had 15 open at the end of the month. Blading that base, 15 roads, blading 40 roads, cleaned ditches at 15 locations, and cleaned and reshaped around culvert intakes at 12 locations. Two trees fell across the roadway. We took them out, picked up dumped items in the roadway in 13 locations. There's a typo there. The fence roll, man, sale, where we did that. Cleaned up some major dumping in one location, patched 17 roads. Installed one curb sign and 2 stop signs, repaired 2 CMPs, installed 6 new and replaced 6, hauled off brush at 9 locations, trimmed trees at 16 different areas, repaired 2 road washouts, and we built a low water crossing on County Road 318.
Very good. Any
accept the road and bridge report.
We got a motion to accept the road and bridge report from Commissioner Basham.
Second
from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 6? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 7 on the agenda is to consider exception to platting for property ID 101917. Mr. Mannix, you want to talk us through this one, please?
This is John Hunt's property. He's wanting to section off about 2 acres for his employee that's been working for him for several years and wanting to not have that platted if he can avoid that cost. Just a one time deal.
Mr. Hunt own all the property around this 2 acres?
No, there's one property right there beside. decided that he did not. But the rest of it, he owns the other two sides of it.
It's currently on a county road?
Yes.
Has county road access to it?
Yes.
Would there be any issues with, I'm assuming it does not have an entranceway at this time?
Not at this time, no.
All right, so in the, so pending a request for driveway access, would there be any issues with issuing a driveway permit if we were to grant this exception?
I believe so.
Okay.
So you're comfortable? I make that motion, Judge.
We have a motion to approve the exception plating for property ID 101917 from Commissioner Basham.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion concerning item number 7? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 8 on the agenda is to consider the replat of ranches at Buena Vista. Mannix.
Court approved the original plat of Buena Vista. When we did that, they did ask TxDOT if it was okay where their entrance was. TxDOT said yes, gave a letter. But when they went to go put it in, TxDOT said, oh, you can't put your entrance there. So they had to replat, move their entrance. They haven't sold any lots. They've changed some lot lines and some road distance length or road lengths. But other than that, it's pretty much the same thing. They just had to replat it due to the main entrance change.
And you did say none of these lots have been
sold.
I mean, it's still under the developer, though. Question and comments from the court for Mr. Mannix.
Yeah. Highway 183. That's why it's the text on.
Well, it's awesome. They used to come out over here.
Mm-hmm.
They moved it up here, basically. Yeah. Like I said, some of the lot lines have changed and the lengths of the roads, but
I make that motion, Judge.
Motion to approve the replat of ranches at Buena Vista from Commissioner Basham. There's a second to the motion.
Does he have the checklist? Everything's good on this checklist as far as your...
Yes.
I'll second that motion.
Second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion concerning item number 8? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Updates and actions on grants to include, but not limited to, those that are listed there. We'll begin with SS4A. Mr. Belt, anything, any new... Okay, very good. Moving on to the hazard mitigation plan. Again, that's in the reimbursement phase, I believe. Mr. Belt, any updates?
No
update. Okay, very good. Resilient Communities Program. We had a workshop concerning our subdivision update and took down some additional notes. And I am working through a draft based off of our previous subdivision at this time. And Mr. Belt probably need to share that. I've got a red line version of that going, so you'll see that here within the next week to 10 days. Anything else to add for the RCP? None. Community Development Block Grant, CDBG MIT. I believe we're still pending award of that.
In March. Third, we're told again. Have to be patient again. In March. They got 4 days.
They've got
March Madness.
Got days, some days left. And then DR 4781 disaster event from last spring. I believe we are making some good progress. We had, there's been two meetings since our last commissioner's court meeting. And I don't want to steal Mr. Latham's thunder, but I believe our category B, which is emergency repairs, FEMA has, our local program manager has blessed off on that, and it has been sent. And I was not aware of this, but it, apparently it's a five-phase approval process. We're through phase three of it. So the last two phases are at higher levels than what we are dealing with locally. So that's our Cat B. Cat A, which is categorized as debris removal, we need to start talking in terms of it's just vegetation. We don't have building materials and you know, tires and things like that you find in an urban environment when they clean up as part of debris. Ours is basically down trees. So we'll start using the term vegetation with our program managers because they seem to get wrapped around the axle about burning brush as opposed to debris, which there is a significant difference. And I believe there's a couple of permits that we are attempting to acquire from the state, and then that'll...
I actually received an email on that here.
Did...
DCQ said there was no permit needed for burning that. Essentially, I think we can take the email we got back from DCQ and submit that in, and we'll probably check the box.
Okay. So that would just leave the outlier being... Historic Commission. Okay.
That's where I'm still confused on that side of it. It is our right of way, most of the stuff we burn in. Versus state.
I'll reach out to them. I'll see what we can't do to see if we can't just get a blanket waiver for private property and right of ways. Would that cover?
I would imagine if we just had a letter signed off by historical,
commission.
Yeah, Texas Historical Commission.
That would probably satisfy FEMA.
Okay. All right, and then this morning I handed out a list that Mr. Latham had forwarded to me last week. It is mitigation projects. These are the projects that he has identified as potential mitigation. And so the next piece of this, and this is when we start getting into Category C, the permanent repairs. And so before he goes putting these together, because it is... time and manpower intensive to be able to put together all these packets. He needs to set up meetings with the commissioners individually so you can identify those projects in your precinct that are a priority, and you'll need to rank your priorities one through whatever. There is a cost, you know, associated with the mitigation projects. So, you know, we'll have to figure out what we can afford. Some of those projects on that list, you'll see they require H&H, which is hydrology and I forget the other H. But we've got engineering lined up to be able to do those assessments for us on those projects that we identify. But before we come together and figure out what that big picture is, you need to have your input as to what the priorities are for your precinct roadways. And then I believe we've got another meeting set up for this Friday. Is that correct?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
What's the value of the Cat B that was submitted for approval?
8,000.
I thought that was Cat A. Cat B would be the emergency repairs. I thought we were in the
1.1 million.
Yeah.
No.
A and B total are only about 160. The other 150. Category C for the
money pot.
Okay. Anything else to cover under DR 4781? Okay. Any other grants or actions that need to be taken? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 10, which is an update on construction projects.
We have one thing. And that is, we have fiber in the building as of yesterday at 2 p.m. So 8 days earlier than what Brightspeed had submitted to, so that's a good thing. I know that F8 is aware, and they are working on the integration. Mr. Bell might know a little more than that.
So we're working on that. Actually approved a quote yesterday for the rest of the little stuff with wires and the little boxes and a few little switches and a few little things and some cabling that's the sheriff's office integration and the new building both included in there. So I called and had a visit with Brent and Nick, make sure that everything was like a, my limited IT knowledge, like I thought it should be. I was confused because it was all in there together, but because they're doing it all kind of at the same time, they're going to prioritize the new building connectivity. But some of these switches and boxes that they're putting in there is so that they can connect the sheriff's office up to the internet, the new building. So some of the hardware is going to be installed at the same time they're getting the new building connected up. And probably one of the next things we need to talk about later on, we got sometimes yet is backup internet, because the sheriff's office will be running through that. So whether we want to move their current internet over to that to be the backup or seek out a set of different backup internet. But they are installing the equipment, part of this deal that we talked about yesterday, to have the device in place for the automatic switchover of the internet providers, so that the now it's manual. If the internet goes down here, they got to get on the system to switch it over. But there's something called Big Leaf that's some special box that manages your internet service that will be installed in a new building.
that will automatically switch over to the other internet if one of them goes down. So we're working on it. I don't expect it to take longer than to get this the equipment in. I don't think there's any high speed equipment that's back going to get back order or anything like that. I expect it to be in pretty quick, and I don't expect it to take them too long to get on their list to get over there and do. It's going to be pretty time consuming just plugging all the little wires into all the little spots and all the little equipment, getting it all configured and getting it all little licenses and little IP addresses to put in and everything and all that good stuff that I don't know nothing about. So it's going to take a little time, but I don't think it's going to take them very long to get to it.
And then if we ask them about phones, it should be hot. Like, say they're pretty much just plug and play. Not to bore the court too much, I'll read this real quick. This came from Brightfeed, and then I guess FA is going to need to decide. Greetings, Scott. We have great news. Your order has been completed. It's active and ready for immediate use. You may connect to the circuit handoff port and program your equipment with a customer WAN IP and begin using your new Brightspeed dedicated internet service. If you would like to schedule a test and turnup call, reply to this email with a couple of date times, including time zone. We will respond within 1 to 2 business days. Please ensure a technical resource from your team will be joining the call. As a reminder, your service is now ready for immediate use and a test and turnup call is not required. If you have any service impacting the issues, require immediate assistance, please call Brightspeed. I don't know if they're going to want to. I'll forward this email along and let them tell us whether they want a test and turnup.
Yeah, they're going to have to collect. They're going to do the way that means. But we're going to see if it works. Sounds to me like
it. Yeah. I saw it yesterday. It actually lit this guy's laptop up. So he did show that it was ready. I still got to try to get static IP addresses. Guy yesterday he couldn't provide them to me, but he swore that he sent a message to them to get those because that was something that Nick said they wanted to make sure we got it.
Okay, anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna address the elephant that probably should have been addressed several months ago. When we began this project, we had an original GMP of $8 $16,114.53, according to Butler Cohen's documents that I'd asked for them to send me. We are currently at $8,443,583.37. Which is a budget overage of $427,468.84, according to the change orders. And here I have 9 of the 11 change orders that have been signed. Two of them, I've got the other two, I just couldn't get those printed. And I'm more than happy to forward those to you. In reviewing those, and I had requested those because it became evident in January that the budget amount that we had put into the capital improvement fund to complete the construction project was woefully underfunded. Woefully underfunded. And so it has become a scramble to figure out where did we deviate? Because it's a pretty significant deviation. Also, it appears that the fees and portions of this project that were associated with the architect were not fully funded in this year's budget. So right now, our original project that had a GMP of $8 million I believe our to-date expenditures are approximately 10.3. Two things that concern me. I had heard the term, well, we did a change order. We did a change order. But nothing was brought to the court, or very few of those were really brought to the court. And so in going back and looking just in the change orders alone, there are several hundred thousands of dollars of expenditures that have not been through the court. There are some that have. Most notably was change order 11, which was presented to the court as draft change order 22. And that's kind of what caught my attention in requesting these documents, is that I did not know how we had gotten to a change order 22 when we had not, the court had not considered those. So the last change order that I was presented, change order 11, is in fact the phase two of the IT portion, which this court did vote to fund. There are several others in here, and again, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'll be happy to provide you copies of what Butler Cohen had forwarded to me. And then the other thing that I find completely disturbing is on the bottom of every one of these change orders is a signature block for Butler Cohen, is a signature block for Southwest Architects, and there is a signature block for the Corio County judge. In looking through these, not one time does my signature appear on these documents. And I can assure you that I have not delegated my signature authority on any document without direct verbal confirmation. And I believe Ms. Roebuck is the only one that has executed any of those on my behalf. So I say that to get to the point then of our architect of record, Mr. Heffelfinger, has submitted these pay packets, these summary expenses. And I went back and I looked, and this last one says his final invoice for Southwest Architects Construction Administration. Early on, we had conversations in this court about hiring a project manager. And I did not go back to research the exact date and time, but Mr. Heffelfinger in court assured us that he would take care of those responsibilities. And to date, as he has taken care of those responsibilities, we are more than $2 million over our initial anticipated costs. I could carry that out even further, but I'll stick with those numbers. And what you're going to have is some conversations on a different item a little bit later in this meeting. And this is what's leading up to this decision on, I call it the shell game, shuffling piles of money around to cover things that we have failed to properly administer. I'm going to work with Mr. Wood, but I anticipate that we will procure the services of an outside auditor to go back and review all of the receipts and all the billing. because, again, one of our failures is we have still some due outs for Butler Cohen. However, according to Mr. Heffelfinger's documents, We have paid him out in full, not keeping any 10% or any percentage retainer from his fees. And I do not have the, well, the fees for this particular project, not including the jail portion, jail expansion portion, appear to be $769,892. And that is in accordance with his contract. So say all that. Say that we're over budget. Significantly over budget. Question or comments? Hearing none, we will move on to consider actions on items to support construction. Oh, I do. I've got a couple of alibis. Sorry about that. We've got some deficiencies over there. We've got at least two gates leaning, those entryway gates. What's the resolution to those, to getting those fixed?
They're trying to figure out why. I think the poles weren't buried deep enough to support the weight. So that's going to be going back, I guess, to the engineer who designed that cantilever. And so it's still in pending process.
All right. So an estimated time frame of getting those fixed?
I haven't got an update on that. I've been trying to get the building, open. And it's the one gate at the farthest end is the real problem. Whereas the trash bin and that gate. It's the lean of the hill. Those gates are heavy. I wasn't a fan of the gates to begin with, but they are designed and working through those problems.
You weren't a fan of the gate design or the gates?
No, just the gates. I mean, I just think my question always was, who's going to open and close them daily? I don't think there was ever a thought through plan by our security to who's going to man those. But I was given this design and I've been trying to execute it the best I can.
I beg to differ that I believe the gates were, you proposed those.
I said I thought it would be a good idea to secure it, but we never really talked about how we were going to carry it through. All right, I'm done with that one.
Okay. And then site cleanup. I visited with our neighbors to the west. They have some concrete and debris on their property. And they have asked who was.
I've been in contact with Josh, and they're bringing a team out to finish it. I talked to that individual with.
Okay.
I reached out to them. Various people to make that
right. Okay. And then the pallets. Things that are across the street, just west of the parking lot. Who's responsible for cleaning those up?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Welcome to the project.
I believe I was asked to stay out of it. Yes. So with that, is there anything else to cover? Anything else we need to cover under update on construction projects? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 11, which is to consider actions on items to support construction projects. Are there any actions that we need to take to support the construction projects? Hearing none, move on to item number 12, which is to consider.
I would actually like to consider tabling that item until after our executive session. Because there could be, we don't have an action item coming out of there, do we? Mr. Bell, would that be fair if we go into executive session during the section of, consulting with our lawyers and stuff like that to come back out with an action item on construction projects?
So either during the budget amendment number 5 or the pay bills or tabling this item until after the executive session at some point today, it would be helpful if the board would make a decision on how we're going to move forward to close out this construction project. Yes, sir.
I make a motion to table item number 11 until after the executive session.
There's a motion to table item number 11.
Second.
And a second from Commissioner Weddle, and then a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 12 is to consider budget amendment number 4. This is rent that had been budgeted under the tax assessor collector's office, which the purchase of a building and his moving, he has agreed to contribute that amount of the $48,000 back to the capital improvement fund, since he will not need that. I can confirm to you that he took that action on his own. There's email traffic that says, yes, he is willing to do that. And there's been enough left in his budget to account for some ancillary fees and this last month's worth of rent with the office over in Copper's Cove.
I make a motion we approve budget amendment number 4 for FY 2025.
Thank you. The motion to approve budget amendment number 4 from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion concerning item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is to consider budget amendment number 5 for FY 2025. This budget amendment, so the public aware, is to assist in covering over expenditures of our construction project. We do not currently have the funds available to expense or to expend from our capital improvement fund to cover some of the bills that have been submitted. And I will tell you wholeheartedly, there are more bills to be submitted to come in on this project. And so with that, it would be transferring $386,000 into new construction under the Capital Improvement Fund. And we would take those funds, $200,000 out of IT maintenance. So I encourage all of our departments to not have any IT issues in the coming months, if in fact we approve this, as well as reversing a transfer out of the capital improvement fund that we had into the general fund in the amount of $100,000. And then there is one portion in the water system support fund in the amount of $86,000 that we do not believe is going to be utilized. Those were part of ARP funds that had been designated for one of the water providers in Coryell County. So you would have a transfer of $386,000 total out of those three line items into the capital improvement fund.
Do you know how much is left in IT maintenance presently?
Off the top of my head, no, sir, I don't. I believe we've only expensed about $60,000-ish out of that line item.
About $260,000. I would also recommend or make a motion that we table item number 13, consider budget amendment number 5 for FY 2025 until after the executive session.
Thank you.
There is a motion to table item number 13 from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 14, which is to consider a lease option on four motor graders for the Road and Bridge Department. This is picking up a lease option. We currently had those four road graders under lease from Stuart Cobb. And this year would have either been a balloon payment or to pick up the refinance on those. And we chose as part of the budgeting process to pick up on the refinance of those particular motor graders that we currently have in our possession.
This is for one year, at least, or
was it 9 year originally?
Five years.
Make a motion to approve the lease agreement.
Okay.
Got a motion to approve the lease agreement from Commissioner Basham.
Second
from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 14? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 15 is to consider establishment of Coryell County Adult Sexual Assault Response Team and appointment of members. This is consistent with Texas Local Government Code Section 351.252. If you recall, I believe it was December that Lieutenant Schaefer had brought this before the court. This is an action that we had initiated following the last legislative session. And the effort was intended to be a multi-county cooperative effort, which I don't know where that fell off the radar, but it did. And I appreciate Lieutenant Schaefer bringing back to the attention of the court. Had some very good discussions with him. We reached out to some of our local partners to see if they would want to be included in this advisory board. There are, by statute, and I believe I sent that out to you, there are certain positions that are required. And prior to it being addressed in December, Lieutenant Schaefer had presented a list of those individuals that would meet those requirements. Lieutenant Schaefer, anything else you want to add?
Meeting at least after those local representatives, some were amenable, some were waiting for to see the result of this meeting.
Okay. All right. Very good. So with that, I've handed out the email list of names and agencies that would be included in the composition of our SART board and that are identified by statute. These are the same list that we had back in December. No changes to that, but it was, I thought, imperative that we've got crime victims liaisons. The question I had in December and wanted resolution on it is, what was their participative role in the SART? And there's no statutory requirement, and they felt that their role was better served being independent of this. And so the district attorney supported that as well, because he does have representation on this board. So what you have are the agencies and the list of names that I've provided.
really no financial responsibilities here. This is, most of these folks are doing this all on their own means, except for the county employees. So we obviously pay them when they're doing it, correct?
That is correct.
All right. So just make sure you're looking for a motion to accept the appointment of the members.
Okay, I apologize. I had a little glitch with my Zoom. And so we dropped off there. Was that that? Oh, okay. Okay, internet. The appropriate motion, I would believe, would be to create a Coryell County sexual assault response team with the identified members that have been
submitted. Okay. All right. I'll make a motion that we create the Coryell County Adult Sexual Assault Response Team, SART, and the appointment of the members under the Texas Local Code Section 3351.252, list of board members attached from Mary Salmond.
Okay, we got a motion from Commissioner Weddle.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion or questions concerning item number 15? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 16 is to consider resolution CC 25-03, which is the creation of the 911 Emergency Communications District. A letter from Mr. Jim Reed, the executive director of the SITCOG, went out in your packet, as well as the resolution. I did not get it cleaned up in time to get the packet out, but we will get that formatting cleaned up so we don't have written in numbers at the top. This has been an ongoing process for the last 3 to 4 years that I'm aware of. It does not, and let me say this up front, it does not impact the 911 system. It does not impact the PSAPs or the operations of those PSAPs. What it is, so there's no change to Sheriff's Department dispatching. There's no change to Gatesville PD dispatching. There's no change to Coppers Cove's PD dispatching. What it is it's a change to the funding mechanism. Currently, the SITCOG region operates under the umbrella of the state. And the state, based off of the number of phone calls, the number of phone lines, they allocate funds to us to operate the 911 system, the COG, to operate and manage that 911 system. If most of you, or if any of you, will check your cell phone bill, you will see that there is a 50 cent emergency communications 911 charge that is associated with your cell phone. It has always been a financial decision. The COG as a region now would produce more funds. We would receive more funds operating our own district, because all of that 50, that entire 50 cents per line would come to the COG. And the state, and it would be a direct payment. Right now, we get a portion of that 50 cents, and that funding comes through the state to us as reimbursable expenses. We had considered this 2, maybe 3 years ago. Commissioner Basham, it might have been right after you got on that we talked about this, and we passed a resolution at that time. But the state kind of changed the rules a little bit. So we put it on hold because we found out that the state was going to take some funding from the region if we would have executed at that particular time. They've come back and they've looked at the financials. And again, at this point, it is most advantageous to the region as a whole to establish our own emergency communications district to where we will receive that entire 50 cents of funding. This process, should we choose to join it, every city and every county that is in the region must pass one of these resolutions. It's got to be unanimous across the board, or you can't establish that communications district. Additionally, when the last entity signs their resolution, this particular communications district becomes effective at that point in time, on that date, at that particular time. And that is for the state's purposes. So what the COG has agreed to do is Bell County, since they are the closest proximity of the COG and being able to establish this, they will be the last entity to pass a resolution. So once we get all of the resolutions from Evan, Oglesby, Gatesville, Coppers Cove, as well as South Mountain and Coryell County, we submit all of those. And then Coryell County as a whole is checked off as good. All of the counties and all the cities, again, in the COG region, must approve those resolutions or this district does not get established. So what's the downside to it? I don't think there is. Long-term, potentially we could set a lower rate. The communications district could set a lower rate from that 50 cents, but that is the maximum that we would ever be allowed to be charged or be allowed to charge. So it would be no financial impact to any of the residents within Coryell County. There will be no degradation in services. It's still operating the exact same infrastructure. It is just the administration and the finances that would change. It's probably a little too long-winded, and I apologize. But I'm more than willing to answer whatever questions you may have.
Who will be responsible to like to reach out to Oglesby Evant?
They already have direct contact with Oglesby and Evant, Coppers Cove, obviously, as well as Gatesville. I've been tasked, and they've already sent me the resolution for South Mountain.
Any of the other entities passed theirs yet?
No, they just sent these out last week. I apologize, Commissioner. The answer to your question is, I don't know.
Anybody else have any concerns?
I haven't really had time to digest it. Unless gotten our packet on Friday. I haven't had a chance to. I mean, it sounds good. Mm-hmm. It sounds good, but I'm not really sure about it yet.
So the 50 cents that the state's already collecting will stay here. You know, what pretty much what this boils down to?
Yes. I mean,
the state's not going to come in next year. It's like, oh, wait a minute.
No.
For y'all to operate, y'all going to pay us that 50 cents. Then we're going to go up to a dollar.
No. There's some very detailed statutes that delineate these things. There are numerous, and when I say numerous, I can't tell you how many regions are operating their own communication services. I believe at this point we are the largest in the state not operating our own emergency communications district. And if you look, paragraph 4 is where Mr. Reed's letter, currently our citizens and businesses are charged 50 cents on their phone bills to pay for 911 services. This money is remitted to and held by the state until the legislature appropriates all or part of the funds collected to the Texas Commission on State Emergency Communications. Then we get a portion of that. With this,
we keep the 50 cents.
It goes directly to the COG, yes. The COG is the organizing
right.
entity.
Yeah.
It will be the 50 cent funding will go directly to the communications district. And that is not dependent upon any legislative action. The rules are very clear that once every entity within the district signs their resolution, that communication district is authorized effective at that time. And
they just changed that recently that this is the way it's going to operate. I know you said there's a bunch of, we're the only one, we're the biggest one that's not got our own district.
This structure has been in place. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look up the statute. But this is not something that's new. It's just, we've just now hit a point to where there are enough phone lines, enough, you know, pieces operating within our region that it's better for us to operate on our own than to continue to operate under the state umbrella.
There's a provision of Chapter 772 of the Health and Safety Code that the regional districts are created.
Mr. Bell, the answer to your question is I do not know.
Well, the ones I see are just county. It talks about a county. I haven't been able to find the question once you start looking. But it does reference the statute about the under 1.5 million, which is subchapter C. But the appointment of the board of managers under that section, which of course probably won't be much different than the way Sidcog's managed now. Dale County runs it, so Dale County will run this too. Well, it's not new, it's just what it is.
And you're just letting now somebody else appropriate the money versus we don't know what the appropriation is going to be, though.
Yes. No, we don't ever know.
Right.
It won't. Now, we will have the exact same level of non-control that we presently have.
Sidcog
just have more money to spend. And they'll spend it mostly in Bell County.
Which is nothing new.
That's the way it is now. Like I said, nothing's going to change.
I think one of the upsides, and I think it's going to take several years, you know, to get there. At least that's what we were briefed in the last Sidcog meeting. But there should come a point in time where operating our own communication services district would allow for the funding of the replacement of our PSAP equipment. Currently, there is no, the state does not authorize any funding for the replacement of PSAP equipment. So we do that out of pocket.
That's not cheap.
No.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution CC 25-13 for the 911 emergency communication system.
We've got a motion to approve resolution CC 25-03 from Commissioner Basham. Is there a second to that motion? I will second Commissioner Basham's motion. Any further discussion concerning item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Any abstentions?
Yes. Commissioner Whittle abstains.
Okay. By a vote of 2-1, that motion passes. Next item on the agenda is item number 17, which is to consider RFP for the Coryell County Sheriff's Office Inmate Trust Accounting and Commissary Services. That RFP went out in your packet, did not include any of the specified dates in there. I hadn't had a chance to talk with the Sheriff's Office on that as far as when to issue, when they want them returned by, and then a proposal number, but we will get those added in there. But in essence, this is seeking new contracting for commissary services. Jim McClintock, would you, or Captain, or I don't know which one.
That's correct. The sheriff is likely to be mandated to go out for bids on commissary and inmate trust accounts every 5 years. With the Woods office does an independent auditing of those accounts every year, and then we found that we are behind in that. So we're moving forward with it. I will say that everything that's in the RFP is no expense to the county whatsoever, other than the manpower it takes for us to manage it. Everything that you see in here, such as kiosks and credit card machines and all that stuff, that's all provided by whoever puts forth that proposal. They'll be required to carry that equipment if they're granted. I think one of the biggest things that we need to consider is the way that we do commissary now. We have an auditing program that is supplied by our current vendor that is pretty antiquated. The new system should bring us into the 21st century, if you will, such as the kiosk, so that families will be able to put money on their account without having to go to somebody else's third world website. They can do that direct from the office, whether it's cash, credit cards, whatever. And it allows us a system of adding inmate funds when they come into the building. Right now, we're counting that all by hand. This system, or a system, is something that we will enter into, like an ATM machine, an ITM machine, and we put the money in, it counts it, it assigns it a number, it puts it on the inmate account. It removes all of the human error portion of that for accounting. The nice thing about it is currently every day I'm signing a bunch of checks off the inmate trust fund account. Everybody that was released or everybody who moves to a different jail or whatever it may be, that'll be removed. They'll actually get a commissary card, right, the credit card. So if they're released from jail, they'll have an option of a check or a card. And they can use that ATM card. It's good for like 30, 60 days to get their money off of it. So it also cuts down the amount of manpower that we're putting forth right now with the bank and balancing all of these things.
We know, put you on the spot, I know what the costs are going to be. Is it going to be any cost?
For the shirt, for the accounting, zero cost.
How much would it cost to install it?
I'm sorry, sir.
How much would it cost to install it? Is it like an install fee or anything?
No, there is none. So basically what happens is if a company that does these sort of things, jail commissaries, they're required under here to supply everything at their cost. They make a profit off of the sale of the commissary that they sell to the inmate. They get a portion of that. And we'll be able to see when they submit their bids. I don't know what that portion is, because everybody would be a little different. But they'll make, that's where they make their money, is from the items that they sell to the inmates, or after they sell to the county and we sell to the inmates. And then we get a portion of that back as well.
Are they any different than how we're currently doing it? It's just we're more automating it. Do we have any idea? I mean, just and again, we got this on Friday, and these things are brutal to read through these RFPs. Are there multitudes of companies that provide that type of automated system?
So there is.
Okay.
One of the things that, and I discussed with the sheriff, that I'm trying to do is streamline the amount of contracts that we have, right? So, for instance, we have a telephone contract or a communication contract with HomeWave. We have a commissary contract with the current provider. We have a medical contract. I mean, it's much easier when I have a one-stop shop. So there are companies out there that not only provide this, but also provide the telephone services. They supply things like iPads. The inmates would buy movies on and make phone calls with, all of that stuff. And that's where I envision this going. The companies that supply the things that we're asking for in here, they all do that.
Okay. So our expectation, we would get multiple responses on this.
I would say where we're at right now, based on our inmate population, I'm thinking probably about four companies that are doing it, that are local.
I will be the first to admit that I did not read this from front to back, but RFPs are pretty innocuous. You know, no action happens until we get the bids back, and then that's when the court would have to decide on any financials. So, other than the work that the sheriff's office, and is there any work for you on this, or is the sheriff's office handling the whole RFP process?
I submitted to Mr. Bill for his review. He's made his changes and sent it back. And for y'all, and to answer to why there's no dates in there, Your Honor, I apologize. We, me and Mr. Wood and Mr. Bell, all understand there is a time frame that we have to post this, and so we want to make sure that we're getting all the dates correct.
Yes, I'm okay with that
as we move forward.
No need to apologize. I could read between the lines. So,
and the submissions are going to, let's see.
They go to the office, officer.
Correct. Is that where they're coming from? Thank you. That's all the questions I have on it.
Yes, the submissions will go to Mr. Wood. We also have written in here that we will create a board, ensure one of the commissioners and Mr. Bell and some other people probably sit on this board that will make recommendations based on a score sheet that we have. Maybe not Mr. Bell, but based on some scoring factors that we said, this is what we need, and they get a percentage point if they have that, right? So many points, up to 100 points for each company that submits.
Well, we have a point of commissioner. Well, I think we appoint Mr. Matthews since he's not here today.
That wasn't very nice. But
It's okay. We've got it. I can see that it came across very loud and clear. We've got it on. We've got it recorded. That's good. That's good. Commissioner Basham.
Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Yes. It's saved for posterity.
I make a motion for the RFP for the Coyle County Sheriff's Office Inmate Trust Account and Commissioner Services. Commissary Service, yeah.
I'll second.
We've got a motion from Commissioner Basham to approve the publication of the RFP and a second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 17? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 18 and item number 19, I believe, can be considered at the same time, even though we did want to put them both on there. This is to consider approving the grant application for the Coyle County District Attorney's Crime Victim Coordination and Coordinator and Liaison Grant, as well as the same complimentary grant for the Coyle County Attorney's Office. There's a resolution that goes with this, as well as a statement supporting the submission of the application. It is through the same funding agency, and it funds, in Mr. Belt's office, it funds, and I'm not going to butcher her last name, Colette's position, and then in Mr. Boyd's office, it funds, help me, Mr. Belt.
Leave
it. Gretchen, yeah. Yes. Is who those positions fund.
Judge, we make a motion to accept 18 and 19 this time?
Yeah, you could, yes.
I make that motion to accept 18.
We've got a motion to approve the grant application covered under items number 18 and 19, yes, from Commissioner Basham. And second from Commissioner Taylor. Okay, very good. Any further discussion considering those grant applications for the Victim Coordinator and Liaison Grant? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 20 is to consider the employee handbook. That was an item that had been tabled from our previous meeting. Is there anything to consider or any discussion for item number 20 at this point?
I know Mr. Matthews, or Commissioner Matthews, was one that requested that be tabled until this session. So I think it would be appropriate, since he is not here, that we would table that until the March 25th, 2025 Commissioner Court meeting.
Second.
We have a motion to table until March 25th from Commissioner Weddle, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion under item number 20? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 21, pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,172,163.44.
I also think it'd be appropriate that we table item 21 until we come out of our executive session.
Second.
I believe that the bills that have been presented are independent of those actions. I think it would be appropriate to approve these bills. Okay. If there are other bills to approve coming out of executive session, the court is more than, more than authorized to be able to take that action. But as our standard pay bills, I think it would be appropriate to approve these because these are not contingent upon any actions that we would take. It would just be additional bills that we would pick up.
We have a motion and a second, Judge.
The
table.
Where was the second?
I seconded.
Did you second?
Yes, sir.
Tabling? Okay, there is a motion and a second to table paying bills. Any further discussion on item number 21? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Reports. Commissioner Weddle.
I don't have a report today, Judge.
Commissioner Basham.
Right for Ryan.
Not too much, though.
We don't want to have a major disaster by all means.
Commissioner Taylor.
Right for Ryan and the way in Quebron. Amen.
Okay, very good. I think the old saying is march is in like a lion and out like a lamb. You know, we still have about 3 weeks left, so still opportunity for it to calm down. I want to take a moment to congratulate our kiddos that are participating in 4-H and FFA. They have had some tremendous results in the past 6 weeks. The San Antonio Livestock Show, the Fort Worth Show, and most recently, the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. We've got a legacy, I think it's almost, or maybe even a dynasty being created in these judging competitions. I mean, it's a credit to our AgriLife leadership, and it's a credit to the parents that are supporting their children, and then it's a credit to those kids that are putting the time and effort into some very, very impressive results. If you see any of those kiddos, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by missing some of those names, but if you see any of those kiddos or their parents, I encourage you to recognize them, pat them on the back, because they're really doing some tremendous things, and it's exciting to see when our young people excel. And that's all I've got. We do have three items listed for a closed meeting executive session. So pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to consult with the county attorney regarding pending litigation and a matter subject to attorney-client confidentiality to include but not limited to that case of Coryell County versus Purdue Pharma. As well as pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.072, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property, as well as pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.076, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to conduct deliberations regarding security devices. Following that closed meeting, we will reconvene in open session and address those items on the agenda that have been tabled, which I understand would be considering actions on items to support construction projects. Budget amendment number 5. As well as paying bills. Did I get those right, Ms. Newton? Thank you, ma'am. We will reconvene in the front conference room in closed session at 10:35. Thank you all for your attendance this morning. You certainly don't have to run off. If you're more than willing to wait for an undetermined amount of time, We will be reconvening to make any decisions coming out of that session. We are in recess.